discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell.
In a very real way, storytellers are some of the most powerful people in our world. They craft best-selling books, make blockbuster movies, influence our culture, and shape our society. And yet, each one of us has a story. And although we may not always be excited to share it, when we do, it can encourage, inspire, and transform, particularly when at the center of that story is Jesus. Today, we meet Ben Peterson, a speaker, author, and the CEO and founder of Engage Your Destiny. Ben, a former military service member himself, has a huge heart for veterans and those actively serving in the armed forces. And his ministry encourages veterans to share their stories as a way to connect, inspire, and to heal. Ben, greetings and welcome to you, sir. Great to have you.
Ryan, I think we're going to have a blast for the next 26 minutes.
It does seem very likely. Before we dig into your story and the journey that's led you here, give us the 1,000-foot view first of Engage Your Destiny. This is a really innovative effort.
Yes, it is. At the end of the day, each military person, anyone who served our country, has something. And I like to think of it as a pain point. And that could be for a combat veteran, that could be for someone who never deployed, that could be for a family member who lost someone in combat, could be carrying survivor's guilt from someone who didn't deploy. But what we do is we help tell stories, and we give military members, their families, and veterans the opportunity to share their stories so that they can pinpoint that one area that they've been carrying all their lives. And by sharing that story, it opens up an opportunity for healing, for kindness, for love, and for the witness of the gospel to move in a military member or a family member's heart. And the long and the short of it is, we're on a mission to bring healing to those people.
Mm. How does it work? How do you take it from A to Z and gather those stories, distribute the stories? What does a day in the life look like there?
Yeah, it's a, you know, I came from the agency world, Ryan. And so after I went to North Central and went there for music and I wanted to be a rock star, and I got out of school and there just weren't any churches or ministries hiring rock stars. You know, I don't know what the deal was, but the job description didn't really fit. And, you know, without any better options, my buddy had a startup agency and got going with him, and we saw a lot of success. But I really learned how to market something, how to get it in front of people. And so when God called me into the ministry, Ryan, and he called me on this mission, I made a video that asked vets to tell me their stories. And there's a couple things that happened in that video and what I asked them to tell me their story. When I get the story and when they write it out, first I pray for them, and then second I take the story, I print it off, and I put it in my military sea bag, and I carry it with me everywhere that I go. So their stories are on my shoulders everywhere that I go. And it's all about wanting them to know and to feel and believe there's another brother in arms who's helping them carry that burden.
Wow.
And so that's the pull. That's the kindness of God being lived out. And at the heart of it, it's not about what they believe at the given moment. It's about, I just want to serve you. I just want to give you the opportunity to tell your story, and then it's going to be carried by another vet. And so that's how it all starts. That's the spark. And then stories start coming in. You know, I marketed that video, and through my experience, I know how to take content, get people to see it, and drive action. And so, you know, we launched 3 months ago, and we've gotten 73 stories from soldiers all over the country.
Wow.
Telling me the deepest, darkest, the worst places of their lives, Ryan. And then from there, I always reach out and provide the opportunity to talk. And not every veteran takes me up on that, and I do it very kindly and carefully and respectfully. But from that point, what will typically happen is that that'll be open enough to have a conversation, and then we'll have that conversation, and we'll talk and dive deeper into that story. And, you know, I go through kind of that experience and that journey with them, and then hopefully have the opportunity. And each time I ask, and I haven't been denied yet, the opportunity to pray with that vet.
Wow.
And to pray for God's healing and his spirit and his power to move into life and to bring love and peace into their hearts. And so that's a day in life. Mm. And, you know, I get engagement with my video, you know, way beyond the 73 stories. And there are a lot of vets that engage with me, but they just share, they're just not ready to tell their story because it's a very, very, very painful experience. But with pain brings healing. And so it's a journey to be with these guys and these gals and these moms and dads and just see where the Lord wants to guide it. Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes perfect sense. It's remarkable that you can have the two for one in a sense. God's given you the chance to have that mass media to reach so many through the video and through the web. And then of course that incredible one-on-one experience as well. It's just very cool stuff. Ben Peterson is with us, the CEO and founder of Engage Your Destiny, a ministry to military men and women, an inspirational speaker, and an author as well. Now, as we've spent the beginning talking about how powerful stories can be, let's go back and head to the beginning of your story. It's opening chapters. Where are you from, Ben, and what was your family like?
Yeah, I grew up here in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. I've got two loving parents that, you know, I'm an only child. Most people can usually tell within 10 minutes of being around me. I love the attention. And so I've got two loving parents, grew up, went to school here in St. Louis Park, Minnesota, and, you know, private school. And then when I was 17, I joined the Army, and I come from a military family. I grew up and I knew Brian from the time that I was 5-6 years old, that I could understand what combat was. I knew I wanted to go into it. And so we were talking to recruiters when I was 16. And then as soon as I was 17, probably a month after, I signed the paperwork and joined our awesome military.
You have talked about experiencing a struggle growing up, even before that point, of a struggle to make friends, a bit of a struggle in feeling just like you didn't quite fit in. Is that a fair way to put it?
Yeah. You know, I going in ninth grade, you know, I had some friends, and then all of a sudden I got into school, and this whole thing called a clique took place, and it didn't make a lot of sense to me.
Totally.
Because I saw all the schools coming together into one school and people coming from different schools. And I was like, man, I'm going to have so many friends. Look at all these people that I can be friends with. Why would I just want to be in one group? So I never clicked. And Ryan, that led me to just a lot of lonely times. Cause I was, I knew a lot of people, but close to none. And so that was hard. The first couple years of high school were hard. And I found that the way to fit in, the way to find love and acceptance was through drugs and alcohol, smoking pot and drinking. And, you know, I entered into the party scene, not really interested in partying, but interested in being socially accepted. And before I knew it, I had more friends than I knew what to do with. And so that's how that got a hold of my life.
There's this incredible thing that happens, though. The gentleman who you describe as being the bully, really, of your high school had this remarkable transformation in his life, and he introduced you and many others to the person of Jesus.
Yeah, it was pretty intense. So I went to a Catholic high school, and before my junior year, Jason Anderson was the bully of our high school and constantly getting suspended. He was the captain of the, wrestling team, captain of the football team. And he basically went to a Pentecostal prayer night one night with his aunt who dragged him along, and he got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
And so, you know, this was a Paul transformation here, Ryan, because this guy was, was brutal. And we all showed up on the first day of school on that junior year. Jason was a senior, and Jason was praying for people in the hallways, and he was praying for people to get healed, and he was leading people to Jesus, and he was just showing kindness and compassion and love. And then he started a Monday night worship service, and since it was, you know, student-led, you can, within reason, do whatever you want. And he started this worship service, and I showed up and the presence of God was there, and, you know, tears streamed down my face as worship was going, and I just didn't even have to give an altar call. You know, I just gave my life to Jesus right then and there, and,
wow.
And I've been loving on him ever since. So
that is the voice of Mr. Ben Peterson. He's the CEO and founder of Engage Your Destiny, a ministry to military men and women, an inspirational speaker, and an author as well. You express the passion that you had to pursue a military career. When you signed up to serve, first of all, you were 17 years old, right?
Absolutely.
That is remarkable. You didn't end up in the role that you first anticipated you might serve in. Is that right?
Since I was six, I wanted to be a combat hero. I wanted to be in the special forces. I wanted to be an alpha that, you know, was leading the charge. And I actually got a slot in the Army National Guard called the 18 X-ray slot. And it's a special forces slot. And this particular slot only comes along once every few years. So it was just incredible that I got the opportunity. And so I was on my way and I went through the medical, qualifications, and I'm colorblind. Crazy colorblind. And I failed the colorblind test, and they told me that I couldn't be in the special forces, and I just was, man, I was crushed. And I remember standing there crying and just being like, well, can I still be in the military? And they said, yeah, we've got two options for you. They said, well, you can be a admin specialist, which, oh my gosh, you've got to be kidding. Or you can be a chaplain's assistant. And I said, well, what's that? And they said, a chaplain assistant is a ministry assistant to the chaplain, and you're also his bodyguard, so that wherever you go in country or in combat, you're the person keeping him safe. And I'll tell you what, Ryan, I didn't see anything, I didn't feel anything, but there was just something on my right side, and something just said to me, I've got a calling on your life. And it was the first moment I knew that I was going to be in some type of ministry with my life. I just didn't know when or where or how.
At this point, then, you go into the next phase of your life where you're training part-time as a service member, going to school as well, and you experienced some backsliding in college, right?
Yeah, you know, I went and there was no nothing really to connect to, and it just those same, you know, demons of just, man, like, I'm not good enough. You know, I got to fit in. I want to be with people. And I started struggling with alcohol again. And so those first couple years of college were tough. But then, you know, the Lord got a hold of me through an amazing group of people that just believed that God's word was real and alive and true today. And then, you know, I really started digging into the word, digging into God again and getting on fire. And then I found out I was getting deployed, and about 9 months later, I shipped off to Iraq at 21.
You have expressed that moment and what it was like when you discovered that deployment was coming. Can you take us back to that? Because so few of us have actually served. When you look at the percentage of how many Americans there are to how many Americans have served in the armed forces, take us inside that moment. What were you feeling when you learned you were going to be going to the front line?
You know, it's a surreal moment, and there's a part of you that just knows that it's going to happen. And when it does happen, you're just not surprised. And so I was in my living room, and I was at home at the time, and the phone rang, and it was my sergeant, and he basically said, you know, Specialist Peterson, are you ready to go to war? And I heard some curious feet, you know, outside in the hallway outside of where I was. And, you know, we talked through it, and he said, you know, we've got briefings coming up, and, you know, I need you by your phone, you know, every second, and, lots going to come at us really fast. And, you know, part of it's scary, but part of it is just like, hey, this is what we're doing. This is what we're doing here. And then, hung up the phone, and mom and dad came around the corner, and, basically, you know, they were like, you know, say this isn't happening. And I said, yep, I'm going. And that was not an easy moment. I think it was just tougher because of the family.
Yeah.
But it's, man, because it's a deployment is not one person. It's a whole family. And that's what makes it hard, man.
I'm sure that there's no such thing as a day in the life in terms of being an average day on deployment, but can you take us through, you know, to the best of your ability, can you take us through a day in the life? And was it quite different than what you perhaps anticipated?
Yeah, you know, in Iraq, so if you go back to World War II, the average World War II soldier in a 365-day tour saw 33 days of combat fighting. You go fast forward to Vietnam, it's about 250 when it comes to days where they saw combat and got shot at. You fast forward to Iraq, you're looking at less than 10 of getting shot at over the course of the entire Iraq war.
Wow.
And so, you know, when it came to moving around, I mean, I can count on one hand over 365 days the times where I thought that my life, might be in danger. And one time in particular where I said, Jesus, I'm ready to come home if it's time. But the majority of the days were very monotonous. We got up early and, so we'd be right on base. And sometimes I'd go for a run and then, you know, go get breakfast. And my chaplain and I would brief on the day. And it was always different because we were a combat aviation brigade. And if you flew on a chopper in 2008 or 2009 for any medevac gunship mission, no matter what it is, it was our unit. And, we had units that were just spread out all over the country. We were in 9 different bases and in 9 different places of people that we need to do ministry with. And you're talking about guys that have, wife issues. They've got girlfriend issues. They've got family issues. They've got personal issues. Our first week in combat, we had a chopper go down and we lost 7 of our guys our first week there.
Wow.
And so the fallout from that and how that affected the rest of our year, bled into everything. When you talk about post-traumatic stress, you are under, in a combat zone like Iraq, you are under so much stress every single day. Because there's various units that didn't lose soldiers, and when you lose soldiers, everything changes, and everything becomes real, and the amount of stress that's put on you for every decision, for everything, because so many things that shouldn't be become life and death. And so that's why, you know, when guys come back, beyond having dreams, beyond having, you know, tremors and things that happen or flashbacks, you are just so accustomed and used to being stressed out all the time and going 10,000 miles an hour. And so assimilating back into what people may think is a high paced world, it's nothing compared to a combat zone. That's what's so hard for a military member, to assimilate to, because you just don't, I mean, for an entire year, you just don't know how to do life any differently.
Hmm. Wow. That's,
it's an experience,
man. It really sounds like it, but that was amazing. I mean, thank you for taking us inside that. It's remarkable to hear the story of Ben Peterson, the CEO and founder of Engage Your Destiny, a ministry to military men and women, an inspirational speaker, and an author. So when you come back from this deployment and you struggle with some of the things, same things that you outlined just there, when you began to go through that difficulty, that attempt to assimilate back into the normal pace of life, the normal feel of life, you really turned to your faith, and you've said that it helped to relocate your true identity. Is that a fair way of putting it?
Yeah, I would say, and I think discipleship is just so important, and I think it's the one thing that the church needs to step up at. I think the church does so many amazing things and with missionary and evangelism and worship. I mean, this is the greatest hour of music and worship that the world, I think, has ever seen, Ryan. But if you think about discipleship and the work that goes into being a disciple and getting discipled, and I had a mentor who said, you know, whether it's night or day, whatever you need, you can call me. And there'd be some nights where I'd battle with drinking, and I'd call Scott at 2-3 in the morning, just crying and saying, why did this happen? Why did we lose these people? What is that? And he was there for every call. He was there for everything to war through that with me. And there was so much freedom that took place just on the phone with a mentor when I was broken and when I was hurting. And then I had a church out in Eden Prairie called Resurrection Life, small family church. And they just surrounded me and they prayed for me, and people kept asking me how I was doing. And even though I was struggling, I kept going to Bible study. I kept going to church. And even if I was hungover, it didn't matter. I kept running after my faith. I kept reading the Word, and quicker than I think, you know, it probably should, I started to get better, and I started to heal. Mm-hmm. And I started to find acceptance, and I started to cut back on drinking, and I, you know, just started to find my true identity again in myself and my self in Christ. And it was a very, very tough journey. And I think there's still parts of my tour 8 years later that I'm healing from. But there's such an acceptance because, one, it just was like, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep running after Jesus. But there were so many people from a discipleship model that were there for me. And that's where we've got to step up in the church, not even from a military standpoint, but from a holistic standpoint of how we're going to war with people through what they're battling.
You left a very lucrative role that you had begun to undertake in those years following your return to the States, and you left that to go and to found Engage Your Destiny. And I just wonder, as you continue to express, you know, what it is that you do, the storytelling that you do for these veterans and the ability to connect, and really, we know that your heart is there for that discipleship, but to be there for somebody in the way that so many were there for you. What is it about telling these stories that makes such a difference? How do you see lives change, and what is that like for you?
Each story has a different experience of what someone's gone through, and it could be a Gold Star mother or father who's lost their son in combat. I've had a couple of those now. It could be someone who, you know, served for 30 years and they got medically discharged and never deployed, and they're just ridden with survivor guilt. And then there's the war stories. There's the guys that were in it and they lost buddies and they've been shot at and they know real combat and they're dealing with serious PTSD and trauma. And so my job and what I'm also currently, because I can only do and be in so many places at once, is I'm working to raise up, you know, more financial support, more volunteers to help me, having people that can connect with these veterans and find out what they need. I connected with a homeless guy who was becoming homeless veteran yesterday, and I found him some resources.
Great.
You know, I have a call on Saturday with a Blue Star father. He lost his son in Afghanistan, and he wants his son's story to live on. And, you know, each one of these situations is so different, but each person has a pain point and something that they need. They have a story that they want to tell.
Well, just an incredible journey, a personal journey, a journey of ministry. It's amazing how God is working in your life, Ben, and it's been just such a pleasure to talk with you, such an honor. And I think we shouldn't leave before we do say, I mean, really talking to two groups of people who may be able to come along and assist your ministry either through volunteering or financially, or perhaps there is a veteran listening today, is someone who really is intrigued by this opportunity, somebody who wants to get in touch with you. Where can both of those groups of folks go to learn more about what you do?
Yeah, well, I'd like to first to the anyone who wants to be a part of my ministry in any way, shape, or form, you can go to engageyourdestiny.com. engageyourdestiny.com, and you can send me an email through there. But I want to speak directly to the combat veteran, the person who never deployed, and the families of those who have deployed that are listening right now. And I just want to say to you that you matter and your story matters. And it doesn't matter what Hollywood or anyone else's opinion is. What matters is God's opinion of you. And he died so that you could matter and so that what you've been through can mean something and can be a testimony to the world. And so I want to ask you to connect with my ministry and to pray and to go on my website and to think through what is that one experience that you're holding on to. And for a combat vet, when I was in Iraq, we had a suicide bomber blow up a school right outside of our base. And because we're Americans, we took those kids and we treated every single one of them. And when we took them in, I saw those kids. And so if you were to ask Ben, what's that pain point? What are you carrying? Well, I'll tell you, it was seeing those kids that day. And that's what I've been carrying and I've had to tell others and share and process. And that's my pain point. That's the one thing. And you guys know what I'm talking about. Every single vet, we all have our one thing, that one moment when we were in country or when we didn't deploy or what our family had to go through where something stuck and it hurt. And I want you to, through the process of sitting down and writing out your story, and I'm believing for the Holy Spirit to illuminate it to you and to bring light to it, to find that pain point and to talk about it, because that's how you're going to heal. And my ministry is here to serve you. So thank you so much.
Ben Peterson, the founder and CEO of Engage Your Destiny, has joined us today on the road. An absolutely incredible heart that this man has, an incredible gentleman. Thank you for being here, sir. It's been an honor.
Ryan, it's been a blast. Thanks for having me, buddy.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.